Okay. Today, in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to do our last piece on Halacha Ches. We're talking about, we're going to start with, the Rama said, it's not so important to remember the case, but there had been a case that was not Chayiv in Tefillah, because someone used it for cutting paper. It was a kli that was going to be used for cutting paper, and the Rama said, Aval HaRishon, wherever, also Lashamash Bodhatsurch Esud, Afil Derech HaRai, Beloit Tefillah, he had bought it for paper, for cutting paper, and it doesn't need tefillah because of that. That's not a food use. But if he chooses to use it derech harai, in a way that is used for food, then he's mechuyev to tefillah, which is what the Rama holds, as you know, we may know that the Rama holds that if you're going to use something even occasionally for in a way that needs tefillah, then you're mechuyev in tefillah. And in contrast, this is pretty chadash. Many people know about this. There's a Brit Chodesh who holds that we follow Roy Tashmishai. You say if the main use is a way that it's Chayiv in Tefillah, then it's Chayiv in Tefillah, and if the main use is not Chayiv in Tefillah, then it's not. So he says what the Rama says, that if you can use it Derech HaRai for a way that's Tefillah, he doesn't agree with that. He disagrees with that. Okay, so first I'll mention to you two of the, I don't want to use the word proofs, but sort of proofs that the Brit Chodesh says. Brit Chodesh says, he says, you know, in Hilchos HaGolos Kelim, this is actually very relevant to Pesach, in Hilchos HaGolos Kelim, there's a machlokes, whether you follow Roiv Teshmishai or Miyut Teshmishai. Which is to say, I have a kli that I use most of the time as a kli sheni, so I can cash it in the kli sheni. Once in a while, I use it in the kli vision. So the machaber holds that you follow Roiv Teshmishai, based on most Rishonim, you follow Roiv Teshmishai, which is to say, it's mainly used as a kli sheni, you can cash it as a kli sheni. And the Rama says, "V'machmen to be choshesh from miyut hashmishay." That since you occasionally use it as a kliyushin, you have to kasher as a kliyushin. See, he says the Prikodesh. He says that machlekes is by Hagolas Kelim. By Hagolas Kelim, there's a clear logic to say that you should follow miyut hashmishay. Because if it's something becomes trait even one time, you have to kasher it. Even if you one time stuck it into a milk spoon and placed it in a pot, you have to kasher it. He says so. The logic says you should follow miyut hashmishay. So over there, there are even people who say you follow Roiv Teshmishai. You don't follow Miyut Teshmishai. Kol Shekein, that over here, they would say you follow Roiv Teshmishai. So you see that we judge things by the way they're generally used. We don't worry about little details. He says, so if over there you could say, over there, the Svara says you should follow Miyut Teshmishai, the simple Svara says you should say that, so Kol Shekein, they would say that over here. Okay? That's one of his things that he says. That's ignoring. Very good. That's exactly what I'm about to say. So he's ignoring that the Rashi explains. The Rashi Taki is the question. He says, what kind of sense is this that we follow Roiv Teshmishai? Where did that come from? To which he explains that the svara for that is that when you kasher kli, it's any ben yomai. It's only a chiyuv drop on it to kasher ben yomai because it's any ben yomai. So you kasher because it's any ben yomai. So Chacham said when you think about how to kasher it, just think about the main way you use it. Chacham didn't want to make things so difficult. Through that, you're doing the din rabbanon to do it. Kasher in the binyan, so fine. Go ahead and kasher just by Roiv Teshmishai. Okay, that of course makes no sense. The tefillah scale. The tefillah scale. There's a chiyuv to rise at the kasher to type to toivut no matter what. There's no possibility of saying it's ain't a binyan, it's a rabbanon. That kind of stuff doesn't fit in a place like that. Okay. The other thing he says is something that we've mentioned, which is the other thing he says is he says I have a raya from the case of a stovetop grate. A tripod, he calls it, what we call stovetop grate, you don't have to table it. You're not required to table that stovetop grate because it doesn't touch food, it touches the pot. So he says, now he doesn't explain, we're putting words into his mouth. He doesn't say what his raya from there is. He says, what do you mean? He says, doesn't food spill onto there? He says, how do I know the food spills onto there? Go look in Aruch Chaim. I don't know if he says you looked there, but go look in Aruch Chaim. You'll see that for Pesach, we're machmir the kasher them because of the possibility that food spills onto them. So, and of course, everybody knows that. You go into a kitchen, you see that food spills onto a grate. You don't have to open up an Aruch Chaim to know that.
That's a lot different, right?
And because?
That's not intentional use.
So the difference that we explained back then is that if that's not an occasional use, that's an unintentional use. That's no one's trying to use it. That's a second angle of it. First, it's unintentional, and if everything that falls, it goes into the garbage. Nobody eats the food that spills onto you. What did I gain from the fact that I wasn't using it? Okay, that's a different angle. I didn't think of it like that. Okay, I didn't even use it. You're saying it spilled there. Yeah, my potato fell onto there. I didn't...
Went there.
By mistake. It's fine. So anyhow, this is what the Chodesh says. If that's what the Chodesh says, that you should follow Roiv Teshmishai. When you decide whether you need to tovel the kli or not, And then there's a if we could call it a compromise shita, which is Aruch HaShulchan. And he wants to say, he even thinks that the Rambam agrees to this. Okay, that's really hard to believe that the Rambam actually agrees to what he says. But he says it. He says it depends. He says it depends. If the person, if the secondary use is either common, or the secondary use was something that the person planned from the beginning, that's what he had in mind when he bought this thing, that's what he was planning to do with this thing, then it's Chayav in Tefillah. But if it's mamash, a rear use, and it's like, no one had thought of using it like this when they bought it, then you're not mechuyav in Tefillah's keilah. Okay, that if he really essentially is agreeing with the Pri Chodesh, he's just saying only in certain cases. Okay, so I'm going to show you four cases, just because I like this pictures. Four cases of where there's occasional use, just to bring out these different shittas we have. Okay, okay. The first is a spoon. Okay, somebody bought a spoon. They bought a spoon, but they bought this spoon not to eat their cereal with. They bought a spoon for gardening use. Okay, that's what they're going to do. They're going to use it to stir up the flower pot. Okay, and once in a while, that person's going to take that spoon, and they may end up eating some food. Okay, but basically, that's not what it's for. Okay, the spoon that they bought, lachter klavim. Okay, they bought it in order to use it for non-food use. They're using it for garden. Okay, next is a pocket knife. Okay, I'm going to show you the different cheetahs after I explain what my cases are. Okay, a pocket knife. The person has a pocket knife, uses it for cutting a piece of wood, other things like that, all kinds of stuff. Once in a while, if he's stuck on a camping trip and he needs to cut an apple with it, then he may use it for that also. Okay, but basically, the pocket knife is used for all kinds of stripping wires, whatever he wants to do. Okay, the next is a box cutter. Okay, the same kind of a thing. It's meant for cutting boxes, you know, for cutting open things and like that. But again, on an occasional use, the guy's going to have to cut a carrot, but wipe it off, and he'll cut something with that also. Okay. And last is a screwdriver. Okay, the guy's got this. I couldn't get a picture with a long enough screwdriver. I don't know why it's flashing like that. But I don't know. Okay, but I'm not sure what that's for. But the guy's got a screwdriver, and if he gets really stuck and they can't stir the pot of the container of lemonade, okay, they need something really long to stick with. So when the mother's not looking, they stick the screwdriver and they stir the lemonade with that. The what?
A hammer.
That might not be chayav in tefillah anyhow. Just for time. Okay. So in all these four cases I gave to you, these four things are things that rov tashmishay is obviously to use it. Not for food. Okay, each one of these cases, each the first touch and shape, but there's a difference between them. Okay, and they were in a progression. And that is to say, is starting with the spoon is inherently made for eating. That's what it's for. Okay, it happens to be that I decided to use it for gardening, but inherently it's made for eating. Okay? And as we move through the cases, in the case of the pocket knife, okay, a pocket knife, the etzem, that's a knife. Okay, it's a knife for cutting things. Most people use a pocket knife not for cutting food, but the etzem. It's a knife for cutting. A box cutter is a cutting instrument, yeah, but by the nature of it being a box cutter, it's not meant for cutting foods. It doesn't even like enter in your mind, really, that it's for cutting foods. And of course, the screwdriver is the furthest from that. The screwdriver has no shaykhus to being used for food, just because some mishugan decides to use it like that, and it's furthest from that. Okay, so like this. The way I see it is like this. According to the Ramah, all of these things would be chayav in tefillah if you decide to use it for food, obviously. Okay, the person decides to use it for food, maybe the screwdriver, I'm not convinced he'll say about the screwdriver. Maybe that's mom's like off the wall. But I'm not sure if the screwdriver. But all the rest of them, the fact that I decided to use even my box cutter, I decided to use it for food, so that's chayav in tefillah. Okay, according to the Pri Chodesh, none of these things are going to be chayav in tefillah, because Rav Tashmishi in all these cases is not. But Aruch HaShulchan, this is going to bring out the difference with Aruch HaShulchan, he would say that the spoon and the pocket knife, are, I would think, a chayav in tefillah, because the spoon and the pocket knife are the etzem, things that are meant. When you get these things, you understand that they're meant, they could be used for food, that's a reasonable, at least secondary use for you to use these things, as opposed to the guy who buys a box cutter and a screwdriver, has no shaykhus to when he's buying that, they should say, maybe I'm going to use my screwdriver for some mishugan reason, okay? It's not a common use either, it's the rear nut that's using it. Or if it's a common use.
For you.
Common for you.
If you bought a spoon instead for your flower pot,
right.
It's not common for you.
So I would think that even point to him that the common use for the spoon is. So I had this in mind, but that I should use the other thing is not off the wall.
It's not common for me. I bought it for that.
even you say even for me, I don't understand. I don't know that if I need to, I'm going to use it for my tea.
Okay. Okay. Versus buy the spoon versus why buy.
Okay.
It's common that people use pocket knives for food.
In my mind, that's a common use. They use it for different things.
I think it depends on the person.
It very much depends on the person. I would just look at examples.
What? Well, it depends on the question. Cut things around the house. Cut things you come in contact with.
Different people. Okay, different people
use
box. All these things are very much dependent on the person.
The phone
doesn't have one. Use a box. Okay. All of these are very person specific. Okay, so now. In
the brothers too, that's all we're discussing now.
If, so I'll say something now. I'll answer your question. The Chofetz Chaim and others, Chacham Sodom says specifically that we should pass like Dharma. Chassid Sodom says it as well. We'll talk about that later. Shafta told me that we should do like that. And my impression is that the common practice is to do what Dharma says. If you look here in Shulchan Aruch, everybody on the page, again, Pri Chodesh on the side, aside from the Pri Chodesh, everybody goes along with Dharma says. They do Tevut means Tevut with a bracha. What?
Tevut with a bracha.
Of course you Tevut with a bracha.
No.
So there are people who are chayshus of pichadish. Some people who say, "Well, we chayshus of pichadish and do that." Do that a bracha. Say that a bracha. That's not. I don't believe that that's what most people say they're supposed to do.
So bracha use the things that offers. You know, you want to use it one time. A guy says, "You want to do the thing? Just grab something, use it." No,
Drama says that you have a scissor that uses cutting paper, and if you derech haroid decide to use it, you mechuyev to tevel. So it could be
infrequently, regularly.
That's what the Aruch HaShulchan tries to say. That it's by no means is that the simple way to read what the Rambam says. So again, if you use a screwdriver, it could be that that's like way more close.
What's the
Makabel?
What?
I'm about to tell you.
You
don't have the handle. You can't use a screwdriver with the handle. Handle's plastic.
If you use the handle part of it.
You can't use a screwdriver with the handle. The handle's plastic. So
The other way around. If part of it is chayv and tefillah, then the whole thing comes out. Even the plastic. If you, so to speak, have to tie it, you have to tie even the plastic part of it.
I mean, you can't remember. I'm just giving you, you take an iron and heat pizza on it, right? That would be going to screwdriver.
We'll talk about electrical appliances soon. Don't worry. Okay. Different day. Okay. Okay, so now. You
can't use an iron.
That's the ones I've got.
Okay, so now the truth is, if you really look into it, the Rama comes from Issa v'Heter. Okay, right? You could argue that the Issa v'Heter doesn't agree to everything I just said. Okay, I don't think that's what the Rama says. Okay, and that is like this: the Issa v'Heter is talking about this is the Issa v'Heter is talking about this thing. But there's another Issa v'Heter a few sifim later. Okay, we spoke about this, which is like this. It's really the beginning of this din. It's the Issa v'Heter took, which it brought the beginning of this din, which is like this. If I buy a kli that's meant for, I have in mind not to use it for food use, the klachter klachter, we're using it for cutting paper, and then I lend it to somebody who chooses to use it for food use. Okay, so the Mechaber said, if I lend it to somebody else, and that person decides to use it for food use, it's not chayv and tefillah. Because I'm the owner, I decide what its use is for. If I'm using it for paper, it doesn't make a difference that he's using it for cutting other things. That's what the Mechaber holds. The Taz and Shach, we spoke about, the Taz and Shach bring that the Issa v'Heter argues on that. And the Issa v'Heter says, no, if the guy who borrows it chooses to use it for food, it's chayv and tefillah's kelim. We explained it then that the Issa v'Heter is saying like this. As soon as I buy a kli that is a kli that essentially is a food type kli, like a spoon, okay, I bought a kli that essentially it's meant for using for food, then it's sort of already chayv and tefillah's kelim. The fact that I choose to not use it for food, that's like holding back the chiv. I'm choosing to not use it for food, I'm like holding back the chiv. But basically it was chayv and tefillah's kelim. In the store, like if you go to the store and you say to him, which of these things need tefillah? The spoon is one that needs tefillah. The fact that I'm not using it for tefillah, so I'm not sort of holding it back from being chayv in tefillah's kelim. Once it's basically chayv in tefillah, with just a little thing holding it back, then the guy who borrows it, he can make it chayv in tefillah. Okay? The guy who borrows it can make it chayv in tefillah's kelim.
So the
pshat is that the owner already had something that really was chayv in tefillah's kelim. It was just temporarily, it was like something holding it back. anybody could get it past that, over that hump. If that would be true, that is what the Rebbe says. So if so, when a person uses something occasionally, he has a claim that basically it's a lachter cloth, and I occasionally choose to use it for food, maybe he doesn't mean to say that no matter what, even though tashmish arroy makes you chayim tilos kelim. He just means it's a kli that really has a food use. And when I bought it, it was sort of chayim tilos kelim already. I was just holding it back, just like the borrower could get it over the hump. So my derech arroy use can also get it over the hump. Okay? If that would be true, then only the spoon, then we're only talking about a spoon, by something else, if I have a box cutter, when I bought it, it wasn't sort of chayim tefilas kelim, it was a box cutter, it had no shaykhus to tefilas kelim. Then he might hold that the derech haroi use is not enough to make it chayim tefilas kelim. That's an isvah heter l'shitasa, he might not hold like that. Okay? The Ramah, as I just said to you, doesn't hold like isvah heter. The Ramah, when the Mechaber brought the din about a person who borrows it, the Ramah does not agree with that isvah heter. Okay, so in the l'shitasa, the isvah heter might hold sort of like the Aruch HaShulchan, that only the spoon would be chayiv in Derech HaRoi. But the Ramah, who does not hold that, the Ramah holds it when you lend it to somebody else, that person is not chayiv in Tefilas Kelim, would not hold of this L'shitasa. Okay, I hope that wasn't too complicated. Okay, anyhow.
But maybe the Ramah needs an HaRoi use, you know, this is another use of this thing. If you just did a mikra yoytz b'lishim, it was one time.
That's what the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say. That's not the simple way of understanding. That's not how everyone's talking about it.
How do you know that? It's like
okay. Okay. Next, we'll go on. There's a case that I thought when I started was an example of this thing. Okay. This machlokes, the Ramah and the Prichodesh that I thought was an example of this thing, and that was the glass tray in a microwave. Okay? The glass tray in a microwave, which is like this. We've seen in the past that if a person, in order for something to be chayim tefilas kelim, it has to have direct contact with the food. Okay? We saw that some time ago. It has to have direct contact with the food. So, when you use a microwave, when you put food into a microwave, it's a glass tray. Well, glass is chayim tefilas kelim, so you have a glass tray. And if I put food into a bowl or onto a plate before I put it into the microwave, then there's no direct contact. If I put the food right onto the glass tray, then there's direct contact, and then similarly should be chayim tefilas kelim. Okay? So the question was, well, which one is considered normal? Now, of course, everybody's different, but we're trying to get just a general feel for what was different. Okay? So we took a survey. Okay? In December, we made a survey. We sent the survey out to Baruch Hashem, the Sirius has about 5,000 Twitter followers. We sent it out to them saying, could you guys do us a favor, whoever's out there, and answer a survey for us about how you use your microwave tray. Okay, we're just trying to understand that how they use it. We had about 85 people responded. Okay, this was the question. Okay, do you put food right onto the microwave tray without a plate? Okay, that was the question. Do you put it right on? Okay, and we gave them 5 choices, and this is how they responded. Okay, we gave them choices. It wasn't like open-ended. Okay, we gave them choices. Okay, and this is what they said. Okay. We said, how do you use it? Okay. Nobody said they always put it right onto the tray. Okay, and more than half the people said they never put the food right onto the tray. Okay? And the middle group of people, which is about half of the people, said that they basically do it sometimes, and on a napkin, as you understand, we had said at that time, I forgot to mention that, we'd said at that time, when you put just on the napkin, that's considered that you're putting it onto the cleat. The fact that there's a little napkin in between does not mean that it's not considered on the cleat.
The tray means the glass?
On the glass, yeah. Okay. On the glass. We spoke about it a different time. Okay, so it's nothing. It's tough also the thing. So what it turns out is that a little more than half the people never do it. So obviously they're not having tefilas kelim. But for for about close to 40% of the people who occasionally use it in a way that seems to make it chayiv tefilas kelim, then they would depend on this machlokes. According to the Ramah, that you occasionally use something in a way that's chayiv tefilas kelim, they would be chayiv to tie with that glass. According to the Prichodesh that says that you don't, goes by Rosh Hashanah, assuming that the people are really like this, a person who says, I use it 15% of the time, this is not one person, but if you're a person who once in a while puts it right onto the thing, then you would not be chayiv tefilas kelim. According to Aruch HaShulchan, seemingly in this case, would agree.
What's your microwave? I mean, if you defrost something.
So I'm coming to that. Very good, okay. Good to have you here. Okay, so this is the original thought that we had, and actually we then told these people, based on this, we think that if you ever use it for put the food right onto it or right into that, then you chayim tefilas kelim. So that was the first thing. came along, Rabbi Niehaus. He wasn't happy. Okay, I mean, he wasn't happy. He had a question. He says, you're missing something over here, which is like this. We spoke about a different time. We hadn't yet spoken about that, but we spoke about a different time that Rav Moshe talks about a pop-up toaster. And Rav Moshe says, when you have a pop-up toaster, it's not chayav in tefillas kelim. And his reason was, he says, to be chayav in tefillas kelim, it has to be either something that you eat with, like a fork or a spoon, a plate, or it has to be something that you use to make food from not edible to edible, to do something significant to make the food, to cook the food. It's a gemara that pots are chayav in tefillas kelim, but he says it has to do something significant. And he brings out from the gemara that even cooking water is considered a significant improvement. But something not significant, like in his case, making toast is not considered significant. So you don't eat out of a toaster, and making it from bread into toast is not considered significant, so in the toaster is not chayav in tefillas kelim. That's what Moshe speaks about only. So Rabbi Niehaus said, he says, well, what do people do in the microwave? Okay, what do they do in their microwave? If they're just defrosting food, or they're just rewarming food, that's not a significant change. So they're not eating from it, and they're not doing anything significant. Now, people do cook in the microwave. He says, so really the question is not, do you ever put food in the microwave? The question is, that's not something that's chayav in tefillah. Do you ever put something right onto the tray in a way that's chayav in tefillah? I mean, do you cook on the microwave? Okay, in other words, to say, when you take a potato and stick it right onto the plate and cook it straight, or do you put things, when you put them onto the tray, right onto the glass, do you do that only for rewarming and like that, for defrosting? Okay? So we did a second survey. Okay? We did a second survey. Okay? And this one we asked, in this question time, we asked them, if you would put food right onto the tray, or put it right on top of a napkin, would you do that for cooking, defrosting, warm? What would be your reason for that? Okay? And here, well, like this. Okay? He said, we got like 40 people to respond or so. Okay, none of them said that they cook food right onto the tray, right on the glass or right on a napkin, okay? They always put it on a plate. Those are the people who we spoke to. This is very person specific. Okay, and there are some people who never put food on the tray, about half the people, which is similar to before, and about half the people said we never ever put food right onto the tray, okay? But about half the people also said when they do put food onto the tray, which is like what we saw before him, that you know, roughly half the people put food right onto the glass.
Is that about warming or about cooking? Oh,
we said, do you
first is cook food on the tray never. The other one's about warming.
Right. Warming and defrosting. I put those together. Warming and defrosting.
Why was that cooking?
Right. So the middle group, the second and third group, the 20 and the 31%, that middle group, those are people using it on the tray in a way that's not, according to your motion, are not chayav tefillas kelim. Okay, so that is to say, so even though in the survey, or the original survey, it looked like it should be chayav tefillas kelim, because you're using it occasionally that needs tefillas kelim, using it right onto the tray, it turned out that wasn't really true. Really, the people using it on the tray are not using it in a way that's chayav tefillas kelim. They're using it on a tray in a way that's just to warm up the food. Rav Moshe said that's not enough to make it chayav tefillas kelim. Yes, you could disagree with Rav Moshe, but assuming you follow what Rav Moshe said about the pop-up toaster, then it could turn out that none of the people who were looking yet would be chayav to tefillas kelim.
What would Rav Moshe say that, you know, if you were dealing, again, you know, just a ball from Hilchos Shabbos for a second, you know, if I'm dealing with like a soup, you know, and we would say yesh b'shalach abishal, you know, for Shabbos purposes, because, you know, you really like cooking it over again. So when people are warming food, they're not, you know, drawing a distinction here between solids and liquids.
But in our mind, we figure that if you're warming up soup, you're probably not putting it right onto the glass.
Oh, okay. Oh,
we're guessing that nobody put soup right onto the glass.
Yeah, right. but you might also have a very liquid, you might, I guess if it's a liquid.
As soon as it gets watery, then they're not going to do that. Right. The best we can come up with, like a potato. You might stick a potato to cook on straight, but as soon as it gets watery, it's not going to be. I mean, unless you're a real slob. I mean, it doesn't really, like...
Does tefillas kelim have anything to do if it's considered official, meaning, let's say if you hold... Microwave is not considered
visual. It doesn't depend on that. No. Okay. So that's the end of this. Let me just to summarize before I move on. Just to summarize, if you're a person who taka uses your microwave to put the food straight onto the tray to cook, if you start to think, you take the potato and you put it right on. I mean, think about it in a restaurant. They probably just put it right onto it. Or people, person does it in their house, they put it straight on, then that glass would be chayav tefillas kelim according to the Ramah, probably according to Aruch HaShulchan also. If you're a person who doesn't ever cook food on it. You just warm food. If you never put food on the microwave, it for sure doesn't need tefillah. If you put it on there just to warm, or just to defrost, straight onto it, or just onto a napkin, then as per Moshe of the pop-up toaster, it would not be chayav shiel skin. Okay, now.
The law says it still says the glass plate requires two.
Okay, so that has to be fixed.
So what's the problem with that one?
I think it's
sort of making that you mean that it has a spoon or a screwdriver?
Right. Well, I'm not even thinking about screwdriver. The question is, the guy says I never ever do it. No, it's like a spoon because it's really a tray. It's a clear thing.
On the other hand, most people don't use it for that.
No, so if you use it occasionally for that, if you're a person who occasionally uses that, means no, that's still it's a normal regular use. It's not a screwdriver. No, it's not. A screwdriver is not just like off the wall. It's more like a pocket knife. It has different kinds of uses. Some people use it this way, some people that way. It's not off the wall for a person to put food onto a glass plate. Okay, no, okay. So one last thing that I'm not going to talk to you about that has to do with this, and then we'll move on with your, unless you want to walk out. There's another question that has to do with temporary using, a different type of question, which is, if I go to someone's house who doesn't table his dishes, or I go to a hotel owned by a Jewish person, he doesn't table his dishes, whether I'm allowed to temporarily use it without doing tefillas kelim, we're going to save that for halacha yidal. Okay? However, you'll see how it fits into halacha yidal. Mitzvah. Okay. Okay, now, next, another question. Not really related, even though it may sound like it. And that is it is. That is a question of whether you chayv in tefillas kelim for disposable aluminum pans. Okay, we're going to work with the assumption, we talked this way long time ago, at the very beginning, that aluminum is chayv in tefillah with a bracha. Okay, we'll work with that assumption that regular aluminum have a pot, that's a permanent regular pot, that's chayv in tefillah's kelim with a bracha if it's aluminum. Okay, we're assuming that. Okay, so it turns out that there are three different shitas about whether a disposable aluminum pan needs tefillah, doesn't need tefillah. Two of them we're going to understand more easily, and the third one is going to be more difficult to understand. Okay? The first is a shita that they say over from Rabbi Asher. I saw it in more than one place. The one that seemed most reputable to me was Rabbi Asher Klein, who says, I think that that's correct, that chayv in tefillas kelim. It's a koyi. He says, what's the difference? A pot is a pot. What's the difference? It's chayv in tefillas kelim. He says, yes, Rabbi Asher. Rabbi Asher told him most of it's chayv in tefillas kelim. And that's a pretty straightforward. I mean, what is it? It's a pan. So a pan is a pan. A pan is chayv in tefillas kelim. Okay. Metal, bought it from a guy, used for food.
Pasta, aluminum is metal.
I said that right. We're working on that assumption that aluminum is metal, that's chayv in tefillah with a bracha, okay? Whether that's true or not, that we talked about it some time ago. We're working, that's today, we're assuming that for now. Okay? That's Rabbi Asher, Rabbi Asher Klein. It's obvious that chayv in tefillah is kelim. Pasha. Okay? The other extreme is that Dayan Weiss says, he says, in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, metal, a disposable kli is not considered a kli. Okay? Exactly why that is too complicated for us for today, not so relevant. But he says it's not considered, a disposable kli is not considered a kli. Something you can use just a couple of times is not considered a kli. And now, he says, now and there's the second step, which is, and if it's not a kli in Tumah V'Tahara, then it's also not considered a kli for tefillas kelim. And therefore, it's not having tefillas kelim. Step A, it's not a kli for in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Step B is, if it's not a kli for Tumah V'Tahara, then it's not considered a kli to be chayv in tefillas kelim either. Okay? That second point, point B, we're also not going to talk about today, that's going to be in the gear at the end of the simon, when we talk about very large kelim. Okay? Then we'll get more into that. That's very good to that question. It is the answer, but for this we're accepting it that it's a question. But for this we're accepting it that if something is not a kli for Tumah V'Tahara, then it's not chayv in tefillas kelim. Okay, so Dayan Weiss says, so he says, so it's not chayv in tefillas kelim. Nothing, it's not chayv in tefillas kelim. Okay, so that second sheet again we can understand. Okay, these two extreme sheets we can understand. Okay, and in fact that's the serious position. Okay, it's in our Pesach guide that makes you feel better. That's our official position that. Foil pans, disposable pans, don't need tefillas kelim. Okay, they don't need tefillas kelim. Fine. Okay. The harder sheet to understand is a sheet that says that if you're going to use the pan just once, you don't need to do tefillas kelim. If you can use it more than once, then you have to tefill it. Meaning you have to tefill it even before your first time you use it. Okay. Now. I'm about to say. So the that shita is said over by a number of different Talmidim from Moshe, from Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi First, Rabbi Felder, Rabbi Bluth, Rabbi Heinemann says it also. I don't remember if he quotes Rabbi Moshe as saying that, but a number of Talmidim from Moshe say that if you use it more than one time, then you can mechuyev in tefillah even from the beginning. There's a printed tshuva in Nigros Moshe about whether disposable pans need tefillah's kelim. In that tshuva, if you read that tshuva, you would be convinced that he thinks what I said to you as a second shita, which is that it's not chayvin tefillah's kelim. He goes to explain that disposable kelim are not considered kelim for chistum of tara. He says, and tefillah's kelim follow the rules of tumah v'tara, and therefore it's not chayvin tefillah's kelim. He says, even if you're going to use it, it's still not going to be a kli. And everything you read when you read that tshuva tells you that he thinks that it's not chayvin tefillah's kelim ever.
Wait, so it depends if it can be used multiple times.
It can be used
once.
What?
So it can be used multiple times. That's
right. The correct. So, but everything you read from the tshuva, if you didn't know anything and you read that tshuva, you would say Rav Moshe holds that disposable paints don't need tefillah's kelim. If you read the tshuva, you would say that. That's definitely what you would say if you read the tshuva. But a whole bunch of his talmidim say that that he said that it needs tefillah's kelim if you use it more than once. Okay, so.
I thought once you make that decision that you can use it again, then you're kind of...
No, so that's not what they said. That's not what they said.
That's what I heard.
They could have used it. That's what they said. There's no, that Rav Moshe said, if you're going to use it more than once, you're kind of have to even before the first. Okay, now, you should know, before I go back to Moshe for a second, I forgot to mention, I have a article written by somebody writing over Pesachim from Rav Vosner. Well, he quotes this also, so Rav Vosner said, if you can use them, you have to tell you, but there's no like explanation given there. So I don't mean, supposedly Rav Vosner holds like that, but I don't see with any heads, but just somebody writing over that Rav Vosner said that, so for what it's worth. If you use it once, why do they say if you use it once, it's different than many times? I'm going to try to explain that now. I don't know if I can explain. I'm going to try to explain. Okay, to say that you never have to tell you, that's easier to understand. To say if you used it one time, okay, now one time sounds like having to do the Ramah. It's nothing to do with that, okay? Like this.
You're explaining a
shita
which is
about
Peh,
Kenega,
whatever,
Meshmer,
and
Shul? Correct. Okay. A whole bunch of people who said over his name.
I asked a member of the Bar Law, and he said that in Moshe's house, they used to use disposably the Nevatar. Moshe Tana told him the Nevatar. They used to use it until it was shredded, and the Nevatar.
Okay, so that's what you would think if you read the Tshuva, okay? So, that's what you would think. Okay, so. There are really two different parts of the question. I'm going to explain like this. Let me first say what they try to say. The first thing that I'll say to you is that the reason why, if you're going to use it a lot of times, then, excuse me, it's not really disposable. It's really a real kli. You can use it a lot of times, that is reflective of it being a real kli. And if it's a real kli, then it's Chayim Tefillah's Kelim. Okay, so now there are two types of questions on that point. Okay, the first thing is, either the kli is disposable and it's not a kli, or it is a kli. Okay, but why should whether it is a kli or not a kli depend on the housewife who decided she's short of four pants today or she's not short of pants? If she has four pants in her cabinet, she can throw it out. And if she this is her last one, she can use it three times. Either it's a kli or it's not a kli. In other words, whatever the din is in Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara, okay, whatever the people who know Taharas will know, whether it's a kli or it's not a kli, it shouldn't depend on how many pants are in my cabinet. It shouldn't depend on, should we throw this one out, should we didn't throw this one out? It became a kli, not became a kli. It seems like a little too fickle to be the decision. I can't tell you, I'm not to have an opinion whether it's a kli or not a kli, if it's disposable. But seemingly, you would imagine it doesn't depend on the user who happens to be in the mood of using it twice or not using it twice.
Doesn't it depend somewhat on...
If you would tell me that it depends on what people in the world do, that if most people reuse it or they don't use it, I can understand it also. But it should depend day by day. Today it's a clean...
If I'm the type, let's say that I can't use my foil plans until they're unusable,
Even if you would tell me that, then it would be by me. I always need to tell them. I don't always need to tell them. That's not what they're saying. They're saying is, I have 10 pans in my cabinet. Okay, this one I'm going to throw out. I could use it. This one I'm going to use three times. I have to tell this one. It's like pan by pan. How can it depend on the person? Okay, and the other type of question is
the problem is depending on the person or depending on the specific pan.
Both of those bother me. Both of those are hard to understand. How do you say that something is a clear, not a clear, dependent on someone's whim? Or depending on just...
For Tumblr, that's how it works. It goes to action, right?
Yeah, this is not a show.
Okay, so I'll tell you over an action thing in a second. I don't really get that exactly. But then there's a different thing. Let's say you can explain to me that it depends on my decision. Okay, depending on how I decide to use it, it either is or is not a clue. Well, there's another truth from Ramosha, which we spoke about, I think it was last time, which is about a pickle jar. Ramosha says, the question we had talked about was, if I buy a bottle of pickles from the store, I want to put, some applesauce into that pickle jar, I have to empty it out, why don't I have to title the glass? It's a glass jar, why don't I have to title it afterwards? So Ramosha says, the pickle jar in the store is just packaging materials, it's not considered a kli. No custom of time, that's not considered a kli. It's not a kli. And since it's not a kli, when I decide to use it for applesauce, I decide to put something else into it, I'm the one who made it into a kli, and therefore, it's not chayiv. I bought from a guy a piece of material, a piece of glass that was not chayiv in tefillah, a plain piece of glass, and I made it into a kli. If I made it into a kli, then it's not chayiv in tefillah's kelim. A yid made it into a kli. Okay, so why isn't this, if the four opinion depends on my decision, when I decide I'm going to use it three times, now it's a kli, and if you decide you're not, it's not a kli, then, because...
The jar was, the manufacturer put the jar as a packaging.
Yes.
They tell you, okay, you could do what you want with it.
Okay, so that's true. It's not as big.
It's good, but at some point,
it's not as good. It's not as bad as the pickle jar, because in the pickle jar, Mom had to use beforehand. It was being servicing as a packaging material until then. Okay. There's a very long tshuva from Rabbi Bluth about disposable pans. Very long, it's like 10 pages long. It's in the Torah here, so the pages there are not as long as like in another sefer, but about 10 pages long. In the middle of that shuv from Rabbuth is a comment from Ramosha, which is about a page long, which is essentially the shuv that's put in the Moshe. Okay, it's a comment in the middle of it. Okay, so Rabbuth starts off saying that he's convinced it's tied into you. Then Ramosha quote stops in there and says, "Hold on a second, no, it's not so true." And towards the end of the tshuva, Rabbi Booth says, okay, so at this point, it's probably not Chayav Tehillah's Kelim. It's probably not Chayav Tehillah's Kelim. But he says, if the person decided to, he says, and if I decide to make it, to use it a lot of times, then I made it into a kli. He says, he doesn't say exactly like this. He says, but why is it in a pickle jar? And then he says, I don't know, he says some funny words. I was going to put them on the screen. I didn't have enough time. He says, if I use it a lot of times, then igloi milsa, that this was meant to be a kli. Okay, and I'm like, what does that mean? Igloi milsa? What is it? Igloi milsa that it was meant to be a kli? Again, because I needed more pants, but I didn't need more pants, so it was igloi milsa. I wasn't really understanding this very well. And I have to tell you, before I go on, I have one last thing to tell you. Before I tell you that, I have to tell you something. When Rabbi Bluth speaks about a person who uses it many times to chayav tefillah's kelim, he doesn't say the same thing that everybody else says in this name of Ramosha. Everybody else says if you use it two, three times. Okay, Rabbi Bluth, the way he writes it is, I lost my words.
He says two or three times.
Rabbi Bluth says, pa'amim rabbis. Okay, that's his description of the person who's using it more than, who's not a disposable kli. So to me, pa'amim rabbis and two or three times doesn't sound the same thing. Two or three times, to me, I mean, what do I know? Two or three times sounds to me like, still like, in the range of disposable. Does anybody say it once? I use it a second time, you know? Palmim Rabba sounds like that's my pot. Like I use it. Like I'm keeping this as a pot. You know, somehow that doesn't sound the same to me. Okay. But anyhow, so I said. I mean, when Rabbi Booth says about Achshavei, he doesn't talk about Achshavei like Achshavei in Tumah Taira. He says Achshavei. He says the Rosh says that if you eat inedible foods on Pesach, then you're over for eating chametz on Pesach because of Achshavei. He says, well, this is the same kind of thing, which I didn't exactly get. Okay. So I guess I said, you tell the people it's printed in the Agudah Pesach guide. He said, it's true. Rabbi Moshe told them that's what you should do. That you should, if you can use it more than one time, then you include it to title it even for the first time. So he says, I consider it a kli. So I said to him, how does that make sense? And what about the pickle jar? So he said, like this. This is how he explained it. He said, when the company makes those pans, they understand that there are different types of users out there. There are some people who are going to use it once and throw it out, and there are some people who are going to use it many times. They know that there's different types of people out there who use it different ways. So the kli's, its status, whether the guy has it as a kli, and you continue, you bought a kli from him, or whether he had a piece of metal, and you made it into a kli, whether it's going to be a kli or not a kli, he understands that there are different people who use it different ways. So when you choose to use it as a kli, or you choose it to not use it as a kli, that's the igloi milsa, that when the original manufacturer of this thing as a pan, that was made with this type of kavanah. This, he made 1,000 pans today, 500 of them are for this, and 500 are for this. It's sort of, he didn't use the word braver, but it's sort of like a, we now can figure out that these are the ones that were meant this kale, and these are the ones that are not meant this kale. Okay, I can't tell you that I could really wrap myself around that, but somehow that's what's going on. But it's not that it's a clean, it's not, the pickle jar is meant as a packaging material, that's what it is. It is packaging materials. The fact that I decided to make it into a clean, good, so that's, I'm the idiot who made it into a clean.
Did he say to make it proper?
Did he say, I'm trying to remember.
I have to see that I don't want to
die. In other words, the manufacturer knows
doesn't say,
it's going to be used on a regular basis. He doesn't know which lines, but right. He knows a
certain amount will be.
And then there's the ones who determine.
We'll make that decision. Right. But what's going on? Wait. But it's not enough that I have to determine that when he owned it, it was one of those tailors. Because it has to be that I bought the cleat from the guy. If I bought a not cleat from the guy, I'm not paying. So it's sort of like a braver kind of thing.
That's right. 3% are going to be this fashion, and then the Kohanim are the ones who establish which were the 3% that he had the kavanah. Honestly, like Igloi Milsa, I'm afraid.
Somehow that works. Somehow it works like that. What?
Matzahs, you go for matzahs over achmetaynuch.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So, somehow like that. Okay. Anyhow, so that's the sheet. Again, as I said to you. In that good guide there, Rabbi first tells people to do this, and many other people who say, who are Talmid the Ramosha, who say so, Ramosha said it. It's hard to believe. When you, especially when you read it in Rabbi Booth Ford, he starts with saying, I think it needs to be Tfilas Kehillah. Ramosha's like, hello, stop, no, I don't agree with that. And then Rabbi Booth goes on for the next, 10 pages afterwards. You sure don't get the feeling. And again, everybody who reads, when you read the Tshuva by yourself, not knowing anything, you would think that it's not, which is in fact, that's what the CRC tells people. But there's this other sheet out there, that says that it is high depending on how many times you use it. Yeah.